Once there was a civilization, much like ours, but with a greater intelligence, greater powers, and a greater capacity for good.
As a human being, you are not one of them.
Well, good evening, folks. Welcome to the Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live on the Orion Talk Radio Network. We're live Saturday night, August 28th, 2010. Welcome to the Light of Day show. This is show number 23. We've done 22 shows already on Orion. This is the fourth network I'm airing on. Our current dew point here in the monsoon-stricken Sonora Desert is hovering right around 64 degrees, and our dew point has been above average for actually the last 7 days, so it's been pretty muggy here. Now, this program is devoted to exposing the inbound passage of the Red Comet of Doom, also known as Planet X, which in most likelihood is actually a T or L class series cold brown dwarf star. And the program's also devoted to the ruling power elite's preparations for this cosmic event, which is an ongoing, recurring, predictable event, by the way. If you're prepared, you won't be scared, folks. Now, if anybody would like to shoot me an email, it's gem3intucson@q.com. gem3intucson@q.com. Now, just some side notes here. If you hear anybody talking in the background, folks, it's actually my girlfriend with her big mouth going off. I told her I had to do a show. Hopefully she'll get her little rear end out of here pretty quick. You got some side notes here. John DiNardo was a guest, or actually, John DiNardo, he was a guest on Gianni Hayes' show 4 times already this year. And 2 of those interviews I just posted on my Archives Miscellaneous subpage. So the 2 that he did, one back on July 21st and June 2nd, those are now posted if you folks want to check those out. And Gilbert Erickson, who I've had on the program here 3 times, he was a guest again today on Vortex Network News with host Aurora Light. That was the 5th time he's been on that show now. So you might want to go to that website and check out that. John DiNardo, who, by the way, is going to be a guest again here tonight on the show, he was on R.J. Hender's show over on RBN on August 26th, and I also have that posted on my Archives Miscellaneous subpage if you want to listen to that interview. I actually have an article that I can't find right now. It's supposed to be my first thing I'm supposed to talk about here. Just give me a minute, I'll find it. In the meantime, while I'm looking for that, there was a discovery over in Egypt of a 35-year-old Oasis trading post. Now, this was posted on August 25th, and was also mentioned on Fox News. So here we got a discovery of an oasis trading post in Egypt from 3,500 years ago. That's pretty close to the date, the cyclical date that Planet X exhibits as it ingresses and egresses out of our system. I'm looking for this article. It's something I really wanted to read. I got it from one of the people. Yeah, here it is. I got it from my friend John up in Wisconsin. Sunstorm could disrupt the world power grid. Of course, we heard Michio Kaku. He was on that Fox business program about a week or so ago mentioning this. But here's just another article on it again. Well, the background noise that was superfluous here has subsided. I don't know if it was coming inputting into my mic or not, but it has subsided. The noise has gone away. Okay, here, this was posted on news.com.au/technology. Sunstorm to hit with force of 100 M bombs. I'm not sure what the M is. I tried looking for it, but after 10 years of comparative slumber, the sun's waking up and it's got astronomers on full alert. This week, several U.S. media outlets reported that NASA was warning the massive flare that caused spectacular light shows on Earth earlier this month was just a precursor to a massive solar storm building that had the potential to wipe out the entire planet's power grid. NASA has since rebutted those reports, saying it could come, 100 years away or just 100 days. But an Australian astronomer says the space community is better on the sooner scenario rather than the latter. Despite its rebuttal, NASA's been watching out for this storm since 2006, and reports from the U.S. this week claim the storms could hit on that most Hollywood of disaster dates, 2012. I tend not to agree with that. Because it ain't going to be like a light switch turning on all of a sudden. This would be a gradual, very gradual build-up until the climax. Similar storms back in 1859 and 1921 caused worldwide chaos, wiping out telegraph wires on a massive scale. The 2012 storm has the potential to be even more disruptive. The general consensus among general astronomers and certainly solar astronomers is that this coming solar maximum will be the most violent in 100 years, astronomy lecturer and columnist Dave Renecke said. A bold statement and one taken seriously by those it will affect most, namely airline companies, communications companies, and anyone working with modern GPS systems. Quote, they can even trip circuit breakers and knock out orbiting satellites, as has already been done this year. End quote. Regardless, the point astronomers are making is it doesn't matter if the next solar maximum isn't the worst in history or even as bad as the 1859 storms. It's a fact that there hasn't been one since the mid-80s. Commodore had just launched the Amiga, and the only digital storm making the news was Tetris, however in the heck you pronounce it. No one really knows what effect the 2012-13 solar max will have on today's digital reliant society. Dr. Richard Fisher, director of NASA's Heliophysics Division, told Mr. Renecke the superstorm would hit like a bolt of lightning, causing catastrophic consequences for the world's health, emergency services, and national security unless precautions are taken. U.S. government officials earlier this year took part in a tabletop exercise in Boulder, Colorado. Now, here's something I didn't know until I read this article. And this exercise was to map out what might happen if the Earth was hit with a storm as intense as the 1859 and 1921 storms. Now, folks, the 1859 storm was of a similar size to that predicted by NASA to hit within the next 3 years, one of decreased activity but more powerful eruptions. NASA said that a recent report by the National Academy of Sciences found that if a similar storm occurred today, it could cause $1 to $2 trillion in damages to society's high-tech infrastructure and require 4 to 10 years for a complete recovery. You're listening to Live Day with your host, Sheldon Day. We'll be back. Stay tuned. Hello, folks. Welcome back to the Light of Day. Untangling microphones here, untangling wires here. This is your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live on Orion. Saturday night, August 28th, 2010. This is the 23rd show now I've done on Orion. Currently 20 minutes after 9 p.m. here on the West Coast. Back to this article. By the way, we're going to have our regularly returning co-host, John DiNardo, on here in a little bit. So, like I said, I didn't know about this exercise that was held out at the Space Weather Prediction Center in Colorado. I'll have to look that up, but that's interesting. Back to the article, the reason for the concern comes as the sun enters a phase known as Solar Cycle 24. All the alarming news building around the event is being fueled by two things. One, the first is a book by disaster expert Lawrence Joseph called Guilty of Apocalypse, A Case Against 2012, in which he claims the Hurricane Katrina for the Earth may cause unprecedented planet-wide upheaval. The second is a theory that claims sunspots travel through the sun on a conveyor belt similar to the Great Atlantic Ocean conveyor belt, which controls weather on Earth. The belt carries magnetic fields through the sun. When they hit the surface, they explode as sunspots. Weakened, they then travel back through the sun's core to recharge. It all happens on a rough 40 to 50-year cycle, according to solar physicist David Hathaway of the National Space Science and Technology Center in the U.S. He says, when the belt speeds up, lots of magnetic fields are collected, which points to more intense future activity. This article goes on and on, so I got other things I want to cover here before the next break kicks in, because these breaks come fast. I'm not got to pay for the bills, though. Now, here's another one. Mysterious bright spot found on Venus. Can't remember who forwarded this on to me, but this was posted on newscientist.com on July 29th. Now, guess what, folks? This spot appeared on Venus on the same day that we got our second hit on Jupiter, which was back on July 19th. The article says a strange spot emerged on Venus last week, and astronomers are not sure what caused it. They hope future observations will reveal whether volcanic activity, turbulence in the planet's atmosphere, or charged particles from the sun are to blame. Amateur astronomer Frank Melillo of Holtzville, New York. Here we go, folks. Amateur astronomers are the ones seeing these things. We're sure not going to have NASA sending us a statement in the mail tomorrow on this. Anyway, this amateur astronomer out of New York first spotted the new feature, which is brighter than its surroundings at ultraviolet wavelengths, on the planet's southern hemisphere on the 19th of July. That same day, an amateur observer in Australia, Anthony Wesley, folks, found a dark spot on Jupiter that had been caused by a meteoroid impact. The Venus spot was confirmed by other observers, and images from Europe's Venus Express, the only spacecraft in orbit around the planet, later revealed that the spot had appeared at least 4 days before Melillo saw it, before the amateur astronomer saw it. Observations show that the spot had already spread out somewhat by the end of last week, and astronomers are awaiting more recent observations from the Venus Express spacecraft. The spot is bright at ultraviolet, which may argue against the meteoroid impact as a cause. That's because rocky bodies, with the exception of objects very rich in water ice, should cause an impact site to darken at ultraviolet as it fills with debris that absorbs such light, says Sungay LeMay of the University of Wisconsin-Madison and a member of the Venus Express team. Now, I have another dot connector here to mention, folks. Back on the 20th of this month, Jupiter got hit a third time with another fireball. Me and John DiNardo consider our Planet X Research Associate, Darren Stone, who has his own show, he forwarded my friend John an email on this on the 23rd, 3 days after the impact. And this was also reported on spaceweather.com. So this is the third time now Jupiter's been hit within 13 months. Now, folks, this is unprecedented. We haven't had fireballs hitting Jupiter since, I believe, the comet Shoemaker-Levy 9 impacts which were back in 93 or 95. And of course, as many of you out there know, me and John DiNardo think that X is start coming up from the south, starting to pierce the plane of the ecliptic between the main asteroid belt and Jupiter. So this all makes sense. So I'm not going to go into this anymore. I'm going to close out this browser tab I have open. Let's see what else we got. I got this from Eric. He's on my email list back on August 23rd. He got this off Carrie Cassidy's website, which I'm pretty sure is that Project Camelot affair. Anyway, it's a Boeing whistleblower document that talks about an incoming celestial object. It's a 97-page long document, and there's only, I found, in this 97-page document, I did find a very, very limited mention of the cold brown dwarf star. So I tend to think that the vast majority of this is disinformation, as they want to keep us distracted on other things and maintain that people that look at the Planet X issue, it's just a bunch of ludicrous, hokey-pokey nonsense. Getting a cup of water there. We'll be coming back in the break here pretty quick. Let me look at my program clock here. Next break starts at about 28 minutes and 50 after. So we got about 2 minutes or so yet till the next break. Eric on my email list also sent me these Chrysler car logos, which show the winged globe. Eric sent me this on the 23rd. This is interesting because there's various other logos in society that depict this winged globe thing, folks. And I guess Chrysler's website has updated logos of these car logos, so you may want to check them out, or I'll email them to you. One of them shows a red-colored winged globe. Sinkhole report. Back on August 23rd, there was a sinkhole that swallowed up a police SUV up in Cromwell, Connecticut. The SUV fell 6 feet into the sinkhole. And there's been other sinkholes going on. There was one that happened a week and a half ago. It swallowed up a Sonic drive-thru in, I believe it was Cleveland, South Carolina, or Cleveland, North Carolina. I can't remember which Carolina that's in. But these sinkholes are just popping up all over the place. I found another one here. Hang on. Well, there's the break. We'll be back, folks. You're listening to Live Dan Orion with your host, Sheldon Day. Stay tuned. Some Paula Abdul, folks. Knocked Out by Paula. You're listening to Live Day with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live from the monsoon-stricken Sonora Desert in Tucson, Arizona, Saturday night, August 28th, 2010. I just got two or three more things I want to wrap up here before we bring John DiNardo on, who by the way, has a red alert to issue to his audience. It was something he started discovering within the last few days. I want to mention briefly about this impact on Jupiter. This was posted on universetoday.com. It was posted on I'm not sure when it was posted, but once again, folks, an amateur astronomer spotted and captured the event. Masayuki Tachikawa, whatever in the hell you call it, was observing Jupiter on this astronomer was observing Jupiter at 1822 Universal Time on August 20th, which would have been early on August 21st in Japan, and his video camera captured a one-second long flash on the planet's disk along the northern edge of the gas giant's north equatorial belt. The event was reported by astronomer Junichi Watanabe from the National Astronomical Observatory of Japan on his blog. Tachikawa lives in Kumamoto on the island of I'm ready to just call it quits, folks. I hate pronouncing these people's names. So much for that one. Even my girlfriend's laughing about it in the background. I tried. Okay, we got a funeral service for Jerry E. Smith. As many of you folks know, he was one of the most preeminent public mouthpieces on the subject of Project HARP. Me and John DiNardo thinks they murdered Jerry Smith with a two-month-long pancreatic cancer that he suffered from because he was going to start spilling the beans about how HARP was being utilized to locate these deep underground oil deposits, which are going to be materializing more as Planet X gets deeper in, because it's going to cause more activity to go on within the Earth. Anyway, Jerry Smith has a service for his funeral on September 4th, and it would be in Black Rock City, Nevada. If anybody wants to attend, the service is from 2:30 to 3:30 in the afternoon on September 4th. Sinkholes, more sinkholes. Hundreds are being found along the shoreline of the Dead Sea. I'm not going to read the whole article, but I did want to just briefly mention one paragraph that stands out here. And I'm trying to find it. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. Well, this is in the Jordan Valley. I'm not really sure where that is. It's somewhere along the around the southern shores of the Dead Sea, anyway. But there are hundreds of sinkholes that are popping up on a daily basis, as a matter of fact. And I mean, people can almost predict where the next sinkhole is going to be. It's become such a predictable event there. This was posted on JordanTimes.com. It says in this area alone there are probably hundreds of sinkholes, some large enough to swallow an entire farm, which have claimed homes, animals, and even people. Local farmers said many residents had to evacuate their homes after foundations cracked when the earth crumbled. What we see here in this area, these sinkholes are an environmental disaster. We see nature taking revenge for the mismanagement of water resources in the Middle East, countries of Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, and Israel. I really don't think these folks have a clue what's going on, though, to be honest with you. So if anybody wants that article, just send me an email at gem3intucson@q.com. That's G-E-M, the number 3, in Tucson. Tucson is spelled T-U-C-S-O-N at q.com. Oh, let's see. John DiNardo sent me this about 3 days ago. There was a photograph taken of the sun by the Solar Terrestrial Relations Observatory spacecraft, which is a solar observation mission, and he sends me the link here. Two nearly identical spacecraft were launched in orbits that caused them to respectively pull up further ahead of and fall gradually behind the Earth. This will enable stereoscopic imaging of the sun and solar phenomena such as coronal mass ejections. John DiNardo inserts here that these objects may be comets from the distant reaches of Planet X's force field of gravitationally gripped celestial bodies. The most likely reason for their quasi-straight-line formation would be that the sun is radiating a magnetic field at that sector, which is acting to align the comets, just as electric just as electrically charged particles from the solar wind strike Earth's magnetosphere and become aligned along the invisible B magnetic lines of force of the magnetosphere. Now let's keep watching to find out if they get drawn into the sun. Incidentally, we might see the signs of the cross more frequently as comets come closer to Earth, by John DiNardo, August 25th. I got one more notepad scribbled here that I'd like to read before we bring John on. This was sent from Eric on my email list 2 days ago. He says that, I do agree with him. Not until Planet X is in everyone's face, no one will believe. Eric saw on the History Channel a program called The Crumbling of America. It was about how the infrastructure was rated a D-. That's a D as in David, folks. That is highways, dams, levees, bridges, they are just letting them break and fall apart. Over $3 trillion just to get up to a B as in Bravo ranking. Can you imagine when Jupiter crosses the sun if it became a sun like in the movie 2010 A Space Odyssey? Eric believes Jupiter was not able to ignite to become a sun. In either case, something is on its way. I think it is the mega sun, coronal mass ejections, and Planet X all at the same time. I wish we had clear, real pictures. It is so hard to prove this topic, and it is viewed as rubbish supported by all science and those that know. That was from Eric. Yeah, you know, they're just letting all these this infrastructure fall apart, folks, and it makes you wonder, why are they just letting everything fall apart? Why are they letting the economy go to hell like they are? I think it has a lot to do with Planet X incoming passage. I'm going to see how long we have here until our next break. I'm done reading articles. You're listening to The Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Day, on Orion, show number 23. Yeah, we got about 2 minutes until the next break, so we'll bring John on after the break because I don't want to bring him on and then be interrupted by the break. So we'll just hold him here a few more minutes. Well, I hope you folks enjoyed all the articles I had to read. Venus and Jupiter being hit by fireballs are more circumstantial evidence that could definitely be related to Planet X coming in. I was going to actually invite a lady onto my show tonight by the name of Ann Eller. She's appeared on Bill Alex or Aurora's Lights show over there on Achieve Radio Network. But, you know, she wants to tie this Planet X stuff in with the grays, and she pushes on the grays, as a matter of fact. And I told her that this tends to discredit the Planet X topic. Anyway... we didn't bring her on, and we'll be back. You're listening to Light of Day on Orion with your host, Sheldon Day. Stay tuned. Welcome back to The Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live on Orion, Saturday night, August 28th, 2010. We have John DiNardo on the line now. If you folks were wondering about that bumper there, that was actually taken off an episode of Airwolf, the high-flying TV adventure series from the early 80s. That particular episode was from one called To Snare a Wolf. Anyway, we got John on, and he has a red alert geophysical update that he wants to alert the mass population to. I have a PDF posted on my homepage if folks would like to take a look at it. It's just a preliminary PDF, folks. He's just literally finding more and more and more of these reports, so he's going to add them as he finds more. But that's just a preliminary PDF we have posted. We're in the process of putting out a finalized one. But anyway, hey, John, welcome to the show. The floor is all yours.
Hi, Sheldon. It's a pleasure being with you and your audience. Well, regarding this alert, what I've found is there are numerous water main breaks in my locale here in northern New Jersey. These water main breaks are far too numerous to be normal. And it occurs to me that they were having ground shifting that is causing these water main breaks. That is the conclusion that I've come to. There's no other explanation that I can think of that would explain such an unusual number of water main breaks in one locale. Here in northern New Jersey, also, we have a number of earthquake fault lines, one of which is the infamous Ramapo Fault. And we're very concerned about the possibility of an earthquake. I wonder if these fault areas may be related to the ground shifting. I'm not sure. It could be. I don't know enough about geology to tell you if there is a connection between the faults here in northern New Jersey and all these water main breaks. But if it's something to be of great concern, and I guess what we have to do about it is not just be alarmed, but try to take action as best we can. In some cases, you know, to an extent, there is not much we can do about some of the calamities that can be occurring as this groundbreaking accelerates and intensifies. But there are always things a person can do if we remain in touch with this population around us. To warn people and try to join together and devise plans of action that can help to protect people and save lives. That's the best thing we can do. So that's what we have to start thinking about. Our first order of business, you and I and the few people who are aware of this Planet X, the celestial body causing these earth tremblings and earth rumblings. Well, among us few reporters and researchers, we have to first begin by spreading the word. That's the most important thing, because we've all seen in the Patriot Network over the years that spreading the word to more and more people is the most effective measure, first measure that anyone can do, because when people learn about it, as the population of aware people increases, there's always a small percentage, 10-20%, maybe less, who are have brilliant ideas as to how we can deal with the problems. And those people contribute their ideas, and as a result, everybody benefits. So that's what we have to do, is spread the word through people who are concerned. Many of us have email lists. And those people on our email lists are, many of them are just, you know, apathetic friends and relatives. I think we should just bypass those people because they tend to ridicule people who like us who have ideas or try to bring the truth to their attention, because essentially they don't want to wake up. They want to remain asleep. They want to believe that everything will be fine and not prepare for crises. They don't understand that if you're prepared, you won't be scared. So we have to try to reach that small percentage of people that we know, many of whom are broadcasters and email list owners who have a hopeful attitude of reaching other people, and stay in touch with those people with this information on a day-by-day basis through the radio, through talk shows like yours, and through email lists. So that's what we can do, is spread the word.
Yeah, initially, John, you stated that these water main breaks had affected at least six different towns around New Jersey, but now you've come across a lot more than what you initially found, correct?
That's right. And let me say that as a result of my being in touch with concerned people like you, there are a number of people that we have connected with, you and I, over the last months, who are very people who spread the word, who get the information out. And one of those persons alerted me to this situation of water main breaks. I had no awareness of it at all, but she contacted me and with a local news report in my area, in the town of Clifton, with this report of six towns having simultaneous water main breaks. And I was just amazed that immediately after hearing her presenting this report to me, I realized that how can you have six water main breaks occurring simultaneously in six surrounding towns? It just doesn't make sense. They tried to, the news reporters, you know, they always try to come up with an explanation that seems logical, but in this case it defies logic. Their explanation is just ludicrous. They say that the first water main break triggered all the other water main breaks. Now, you know, I mean, I don't know anything about the water system, but it just doesn't make sense. How could one break in a water main cause other water mains to break? Maybe there's a logical reason for it that I'm not seeing. But maybe you can see why that might be possible. But I just think it's a cover up. It's a way of, you know, again, some people in authorities that decided, well, this is too, this is kind of a little bit alarming to the public to have six water main breaks occurring simultaneously, so let's give them the excuse that one break triggered the other five breaks. But I think it's all because that one area, it seems logical to conclude that one section, one region where the six breaks occurred has shifting ground, and that's why we had six breaks all at the same time. You see, when one break occurs, what happens? The water pressure is relieved in the system. So now you have less pressure if all the systems are interconnected, and I would assume that they would be, because they're maybe drawing water from the same, you know, from a reservoir system, say, for example, that might be feeding six towns. Well, if one main breaks, then you have a reduction in the pressure in all the other mains as well. So why would they break when the pressure is reduced? I could see if the pressure were increased, the mains would break, but not when the pressure is decreased. Does that make sense to you? Hello? Hello? Sheldon, are you there? Well, I guess I'll just keep...
I'm here, John.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Does that make sense to you that when, you know, with a water main, one water main would break, it would relieve the pressure in all the other mains, surrounding mains, which would certainly not make them tend to break just because they lost pressure.
So well, I'm along the same lines as you. I tend to think this is all being caused by Planet X, because it's what's happening here, folks, is I think that Planet X is causing these sinkholes, and they're telling us the water main breaks are causing these sinkholes, but we have one official down in the Philippines that has stated that things such as earth tremors will cause water mains or sinkholes to occur.
Oh, okay. You got this this message from one of the authorities in the Philippines. Is that it? That's what you.
Not a message. Just something I found among my research on an internet article that some official in the Philippines has stated that sinkholes are caused by either human-induced activities or earth tremors. Well, Planet X is causing earth tremors in places that hasn't... Okay, we'll be back, folks. You're listening to Light of Day. Stay tuned.